Before Jesus died on the cross, he warned the disciples and us, "In the world, you will have tribulation." Those aren't easy words to hear, yet we should never fear persecution. Let's find out why, here on Foreshadows Report. Welcome to Foreshadows Report with Steve Miller. Resurrection Sunday is drawing near, and we all know that before the resurrection, there was the crucifixion. Jesus was whipped, beaten, and nailed to a cross. After he was buried, the disciples hid themselves in fear. They were afraid that they might be arrested and punished as well. At the time, they didn't fully understand what would happen next. They hadn't grasped that Christ would rise from the dead in victory. And it is because of his resurrection that all of us who place our faith in him will be resurrected as well. One truth that is proclaimed loud and clear in Jesus' final hour is that he faced persecution well. He did not shrink from it. He faced the cross with joy because he knew the good that would come from it. And Scripture tells us that the way he faced persecution is an example to us. Let's see what we can learn from his example here on Foreshadows Report. If you know what it's like to be despised or rejected as a Christian, you've received a very small taste of what Christ faced from his enemy. Jesus warned us we will face conflict with the world. In John 16:33, shortly before he was crucified, Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation." In 2 Timothy 3:12, the Apostle Paul wrote, "All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." In 1 Peter 3:14, Peter talked about how we will suffer for righteousness' sake. Two verses later, Peter wrote that we can expect to be reviled for our good behavior in Christ. In 1 John 3:13, the Apostle John wrote, "Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you." Why will this be the case? Jesus gives us the answer in John 15:19. He said, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." As we follow Christ and as we seek to live righteously, our lives become a rebuke to the world. People become uncomfortable with our presence. They love the darkness, and they don't like that we are shining light into their darkness. It's never easy to be on the receiving end of hurt or harm because of our faith. When people attack us or vilify us or lie about us, our natural reaction is to get frustrated and push back. But that's not the right response. Jesus himself is the supreme example of how we ought to respond. We must keep in mind that Jesus faced far worse suffering than any of us will ever face. The brutal horrors of being beaten, then nailed to the cross, are hard for us to imagine. The pain had to have been absolutely excruciating. And yet, even after Jesus had been tortured and was in great agony on the cross, he prayed for those who had crucified him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus faced the most unjust punishment in all history. He did not deserve the crucifixion. He was entirely innocent, and yet he went to the cross willingly. It's important to note that when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them," the people who had nailed him to the cross were not repentant. They did not apologize. The hurts were still heard toward him, and yet Jesus was willing to forgive them. He didn't wait for them to ask for forgiveness. He didn't demand that they apologize. He was willing to forgive, even when those who crucified him hadn't asked for forgiveness. And we are called to be willing to do the same. Listen carefully to 1 Peter 2:21. Peter wrote, "To this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Christ's call to follow him assumes that we are willing to die for him. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." When the disciples heard these words, they did not miss their meaning. They knew that to carry one's cross meant to head toward one's own crucifixion. They knew Jesus was talking about a willingness to surrender, even to the point of a violent physical death. That's how serious the call to follow Jesus is. One of the most difficult commands Jesus gave appears in Luke 6, verses 27 and 28. "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." No matter how badly we are treated, we are to respond in love and prayer. Even though we would rather pull out our swords and slash away, as Peter did in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was clear about the consequences of identifying with him. In John 15:20, he said, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." As we review all the verses we've looked at up till now, we can rightly conclude that godly living will cause people to hate us, and it could lead to persecution. While that doesn't sound like good news, there is good that comes from being persecuted. Jesus said in Luke 6:22, "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." We can expect hatred and pain because we identify with Jesus, but we have the assurance that the things of this world are temporary. Someday, Christ will return and everything will change. In the meantime, we need to remember Jesus' words, "Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you." This blessing speaks of a true and lasting inner joy. This joy can never be taken away from us, no matter what is done to us. The pain of living in this world will be temporary, and the joys that await us are eternal. That alone should make us glad to follow our Lord's example in persecution. From a human perspective, it's hard to see how persecution is beneficial. We quickly think of many reasons we would rather not suffer just because we identify with Christ. But Jesus already promised that we are blessed when we are reviled. And in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, we read this: "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." The heat and pressure of persecution help to refine and shape us. They prepare us to persevere. They help us to keep our focus on the finish line. When we realize the good that can come from suffering for Christ's sake, our anxieties will be replaced with peace. In the same way that Jesus was able to go to the cross with joy because he knew what lay on the other side, we too can endure persecution with joy because we know the positive results God can produce as we keep moving onward. For many Christians, the idea that we're going to face troubles because of our faith is not appealing. It fills us with fear. And a culture that says, "God wants me to be happy, The idea of suffering for Christ is foreign and unwelcome. Yet God never said that life would be free of pain. Instead, He promises that He will stay with us in every trial we face. The apostles set the right example when they were beaten for proclaiming the gospel. Acts 5:41 says that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for Christ's name. The early Christians were willing to embrace suffering, even if it meant dying for their faith. Are we too willing to embrace trouble as well? Any loss we face from persecution is temporary, and every gain we receive is eternal. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him." This crown of life is a reward that can never be taken away from us, nor can the blessings and inner joys that result from persecution ever be taken away from us. That is why we can take comfort in these words from Psalm 56:11. "In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" After Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation," He went on to say, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." That's exactly what happened at the resurrection. Christ overcame the world, and with Him, we are overcomers as well. For this, we can sing never-ending praises to Him. It's because Christ was willing to forgive His enemies that we too are forgiven. May we follow the example He set for us and learn to face persecution well, just as He did. Thank you for joining me for Foreshadows Report. My ongoing prayer is that you'll be blessed by the teachings shared on this podcast. And there are other opportunities for you to be blessed as well. If you go to the Harvest Prophecy website, you'll see many free blog articles related to Bible prophecy. These articles cover a wide variety of topics, and the best part is that they're free. To access these articles, go to harvestprophecyhq.com. That's harvestprophecyhq.com. And on the menu at the top, click on the word blog. That will take you to several dozen articles about Bible prophecy and more. Once again, thank you for joining me. And a big thank you to Harvest House Publishers for sponsoring this podcast.